We're going to focus on one particular aspect, actually one pasuk in Parshas Balak. Vayisa Vilam es Einov Vayaris Yisrael Shochem Lishvatov. So let's take apart this part of the pasuk into sections. Vayisa Bilam es Einov. He was Nosei es Einov. That indicates some sort of special focus that he looked at Bnei Yisrael, Vayaris Yisrael. So as a result of Vayisa Bilam es Einov, it's almost actively looking and concentrating on Bnei Yisrael, Vayaris Yisrael, he saw Yisrael. And then the pasuk says Shochem L'Shvatov, something about the way that Bnei Yisrael were encamped in the Midbar, in the desert. Rashi says Vayisa Bilam es Einov. What's this introduction to the pasuk? It could have said Vayar Bilam es Yisrael. What's Vayisa Bilam es Einov? Bikesh lahachnis bahem ayin ra'ah. There was a deliberate looking. It wasn't just stam ra'iyah. It was for an intent and a purpose and a goal. And Bilam, his intention was ayin ra'ah. In fact, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, when it describes the midos of Bilam HaRasha, one of the midos is ayin ra'ah, as opposed to Avram Avinu, on the other end of the spectrum, Lahavdil, whose midah is ayin tova. Where do we see ayin ra'ah in the personality of Bilam? Right here, in Vayisa Bilam es Einov, Rashi says, Bikesh lahachdis bohem ayin ra'ah. Then Shochem l'shvatov, this is going to be the antidote. This is going to be the protection of Bnei Yisrael against the ayin ra'ah. Says Rashi, Shochem l'shvatov, ra'ah kol shevet v'shevet, shochem li'atzmo v'ein me'uravim, v'rosh ha'ein pischehem mechuvonim ze keneged ze. The ohalim, even within each shevet's encampment, were facing in opposite directions. They weren't mechuvonim ze keneged ze, shelo yotzitz l'soch ohel chaveru, that they shouldn't look into the ohel of their friend, of their neighbor. So the Shochem l'Shvatov is a praise that the Torah is giving, an accolade, to describe the way Bnei Yisrael were organized, were encamped, shelo yotzitz l'toch ohel chaveru, and that's the answer to the reish of Vayisa Bilam es Einov. The reason why Bilam was not successful, l'hachnis b'em ayin ra'ah, is because of Shochem l'Shvatov. Because shelo yotzitz, the way the ohalim was set up, were organized, the arrangement was such that they couldn't look one into the next ohel. And the question here is obvious. What does one thing have to do with the other? How is it that Shochem l'shvatov, which is probably what we call the mid of tzniut, of being very careful about not looking at someone else and seeing into their ohel when you shouldn't be seeing them, that element of privacy, of modesty, what does that have to do with ayin ra'ah? Which raises a more general question. What is ayin ra'ah? How does it work? What's its power? And how do we protect ourselves against it? So although I'm beginning tonight's discussion with Parshas Balak, really the parsha itself is just a springboard to a much broader question about ayin ra'ah. What is ayin ra'ah? What I'm going to do in the amount of time that we have allotted to us is to try to explain as best as we can what lessons we can learn from the concept of ayin ra'ah. In other words, in Musar, in morality and in ethics, what message, what can we learn that would uplift our lives from this sugya, this gigantic sugya, which we'll see spans different gemaras in Shas Bavli, and it appears in the Rishonim, in the Achronim, it's all over the place. What can we take lemaisa from the concept of ayin ra'ah? And let me say at the outset, I don't claim to have the answer to this question. It's gigantic, gigantic, comprehensive concept, but let's try to at least scratch the surface. Now, in discussing ayin ra'ah, we have to divide our discussion into two parts. One part I call practical. In other words, what does Ayin Ra'ah do? What is its impact? What is its capacity? And practically, what can we do to ward off the Ayin Ra'ah? And if we turn the clock back to Europe before the war, for example, less than 100 years ago, those of us who have parents and grandparents who will tell about the life then, back in Poland, will tell you that Ayin Ra'ah was a major issue. There were all sorts of things that were done in order to ward off and protect against Ayin Ra'ah. So that's on the practical level. And we're going to say a few things about that, not too much. We're more interested in what I call Roman numeral number 2, the second pillar of discussion. And that is what causes Ayin Ra'ah, what brings it about, what power it has, and therefore how can we, on a psychological and ethical level, derive the proper attitude that we should have, the midos tovos, in our lives that would protect ourselves against Ayin Ra'ah. So here I'm not discussing tachlis, the practical step-by-step ingredients. You know, we're not talking about recipes. That's part one. That's going to be the practical element. I'm going to say very little about that. What I really want to focus on, and my goal, if I could possibly answer the question, is what does it mean to our life? What could I, Azariah Berzon, take out of the concept of Ayin Ra'ah in my daily life? Because although I know that my parents and grandparents put so much emphasis on Ayin Ra'ah and practically had to protect against it, but in my life today, Ayin Ra'ah doesn't play that practical of a role. I'm not constantly worried about a right to bendel and a this and a that to protect against Ayin Ra'ah, but I do think that somewhere within the concept of Ayin Ra'ah, there may be a message, a musashmuz for us, as to how we should live our lives, what attitude we should have about everything that surrounds us. So first, on the practical level, where do we see Ayin Ra'ah? We mentioned that Bilam tried to be machnis Ayin Ra'ah into Klal Yisrael. But where do we find that Ayin Ra'ah is really such a powerful tool and a very dangerous one? The Gemara in Bav Metzia, on Daf Kuv Zayin Amid Beis, referring to Rav, the Amora Rav, tells us something that makes our hair stand on end. The Gemara says, darshaning the pasuk Veheser Hashem Mimcha Kol Choli, that Almighty God promises Bnei Yisrael that I will remove all choli. What does it mean that God says I will remove all sicknesses and illnesses? Amar Rav Zu Ayin. This refers to the eye. Kol Choli. We know that there's a whole long list of diseases, of maladies. You know, you go to a physician, and today in medical school and afterwards, they specialize in so many different areas of human health, of the human body, the anatomy, that's broken up into so many segments, so many parts. Kol Choli. I would have said that Kol Choli refers to a whole barrage of illnesses, which we don't even want to mention because we get scared mentioning them. And yet Rav identifies Kol Choli as Ayin, as if to say that Hashem's promise, Ve'eser Hashem Imcha Kol Choli, there's nothing more important, according to Rav's understanding of this pasuk, than to prevent, to protect and heal us from Ayin. Why? Rav L'tameh, the Gemara continues. This is something typical of Rav. Why? The Rav Solik L'Bei Kavri, Rav visited a cemetery, Beit HaKvarot, in Aramaic Beit Kavri. Ovid, mighty Ovid, he did what he did. The Gemara is very ambiguous here. We don't know exactly what he did. Omar, and when he finished doing what he did in the cemetery, he declared, Tishim v'tisha, 99 out of 100 people, be Ayin Ra'ah. The Echad, and 1 out of 100, be Derech Eretz. Rashi explains, Ovid mighty Ovid, the Gemara kept it secret, but Rashi reveals it, Yodea hayarav lilchosh ala kvaros. Rav had the ability to whisper on each kever, ulahavin al kol kever v'kever, and through his lechisha, he was able to understand on each kever Be'ezu misa meis. What caused the death of that individual? And apparently he went from kever to kever to at least 100 kvarim, unless there was a mathematical formula here, but... And he asked, or he investigated, what was the cause of the death? In meis bizmano, did he die in his allotted time? Everybody has a certain amount of time and they're going to live, and then they get sick and they die. In meis, or did he die? Be ayin ra'ah. Apparently, you see from this, that ayin ra'ah could cause a person to die prematurely before his time. So the victim of ayin ra'ah dies before his time comes. And Rav, as a result of his investigation, discovered that 99 out of 100 people die before they're supposed to die because of ayin ra'ah. Again, ask me, does this apply in our situation today? Is ayin ra'ah still as powerful as it used to be? I don't know. But what I do know is that the Gemara testifies that when Hashem promised, V'heiser Hashem mimcha kol choli, we would think that the greatness of this divine promise is that God will spare the Jewish people of the many, many illnesses that people die from. Forget about illnesses. That's derech eretz. That's the normal way a person dies. Rav says, no, there's something even greater, a lot greater, 99 times greater, in the promise of Hashem. Hashem, in referring to kol choli, is not talking about derech eretz. He's talking about a choli that is defined by ayin ra'ah. And what we derive from this Gemara, whether we like it or not, is that according to Rav, ayin ra'ah has an unbelievable power. In that 99 out of 100 people, Rachmar Litzlan, Hashem should protect us, die because of ayin ra'ah. That's one Gemara in Baba Metzia. And the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Yud Aleph, on Daf Chaf Amid Aleph, the Gemara speaks about how a person could possibly protect himself against ayin ra'ah. We'll see that Gemara in just a minute, but once again, I want to point out to you that we're going to look at just a few sugyas all of a Shas, but there are so many that address the issue of ayin ra'ah and its power. Its destructive, dangerous impact. Now, I'm going to skip, fast forward, we'll get back to the Gemara in a minute. You know, I'm going to fast forward like, you know, 1600 years from the Gemara's time, or a little bit less, but to the Akedas Yitzchak. And this is a paragraph that he writes in Parshas Tazria, which once again will make your hair stand on end, because we're no longer talking about, you know, a description back 1600 years ago at the time of the Talmud, a much more contemporary kind of description. He writes, Kefi Anoda, it's absolutely public knowledge, he says. Yazik, a person has the power to damage someone. Misha Teva Chomro Ra, if he has a very evil Teva, his makeup is very bad. Mi'od Luzuloso, it can be Mazik Ma'od Luzuloso. Af Besimas Eino Olav Bilvad. He just has to put his eye on him. Give him a whammy. Kimo Sharichu Chazal. You'll find it in many places in the statements of Chazal that such a mazik could do his destructive acts with his ayin. And not only that, the Shar Mechre Ateva Kadmonim. He says you'll see it also in the Lahavdil, the secular books that investigate natural law, what I guess you'd call it science. And those ancient books, a few of them he mentions here, write about the Godel Hezek Ayin Ra'ah, the overwhelming power of damage inherent in Ayin Ra'ah. Ki yesh anashim, there are certain people, asher yuchlu lahamis zuloso, lahamitotam. There are people who have the power through ayin ra'ah to literally murder other people. Babotat shtei einehem. Sometimes they need to use both of their eyes. V'yesh asher lemakoach harazeh rak biyachat me'einehem. Some are so powerful they can do it with one eye. V'yesapru, and there's a story, gam mimelech echad, there was one king, asher karol ish kazeh, he hired, he employed a certain person who had this koach of ayin ra'ah, v'yitzaveyu, and he commanded them, lahavit el anoshim asher hoyu mechuyove misa, to look at those who the government was searching after, you know, and they wanted to bring them to trial on a capital sin, a capital crime, put them to death. Vayehi kehabita aleihem, and when he looked at them, v'hinei kal mehera safu tamu, immediately they died. He says, yesh anashim v'Africa, there's some tribes in Africa, he says, asher ba'botat ayin achat, with the look of one eye, yecholim lahovish uliyabesh etzim vasovim, they can look at trees and other vegetations and grass that grows, and wither them up, just cut off their life. Ulahamis anoshim noshim v'taf. It's frightening. And he quotes some sort of a history book. Kibetoch am tribals. There are tribal groups in Africa. Asher yoshvu biyamav, that lived and inhabited various areas and geographic locations in Africa at the time of this writer, that particular writer. The Eretz Bulgarin, and they came all the way to Bulgaria, which is part of Slovakia, that's already, you know, close to Europe, that's Europe. Hayu anoshim asher lo yochol ish lamod kenegdom. Ki mide rovi bitu ish b'eis kasam. When a person of that sort, who had those talents and those that profession, and he was angry, he misu b'skira achas. It's frightening. And he quotes other chachamim amongst the goyim. He says, "Einenu rochok." It's not far from truth and laham, and to believe efsharut have said harav hanezek hamesuvav miayin ro'o. So here's at least one of the great authors in our Torah literature who speaks about the tremendous hefsed of ayin ro'o, the sakana and the nezek that's caused by ayin ro'o. Let's go back to some of the gemaras that I mentioned before. The gemara Brachos and Daf Chaf offers one solution. The Gemara says, Amri le Rabbonon, lo komestafe marmi ein abisha. There's somebody who came into town and he was sort of showing off, you know, his family and his goods and his possessions, and the Rabbonon said to him, "Aren't you afraid of Ayin Hara?" Omar lehu, he responded, "Ano mizara de Yosef kasina. I am from the offspring of Sheva of Yosef. There is no power of the Ayin Ra'ah against those who come and descend from Yosef." And to prove this, he quoted two psukim in Parshas Vayechi, in the brachos that Yaakov bestowed upon Yosef. Tichsiv, ben paras Yosef, ben paras alei ayin. The alei ayin means a protection against Ayin Ra'ah. The Omar Rabbi Avo Al Tikre, don't read it Ale Ayin Ela Ole Ayin. They go above the Ayin Ra'ah. The Iba Yisema Ayin Shalo Rotsa Lozun Mimash Eino Shalo Ein Ayin Harosh Oletespo. Others say it wasn't due to the blessing of Yaakov that Yosef and his descendants achieved this protective power against Ayin Ra'ah, but it was rather the merit of Yosef at the Mice of Eishes Potiphera, that he didn't look and he didn't have benefit from what he wasn't allowed to do. So the fact that he disciplined himself and he subdued his natural desire to look with his ayin in the way that he shouldn't look, but he was able to control that, so therefore he gets a protection against ayin ra'ah. So whether you go with the first opinion, namely Rabbi Avo, that the blessing of Yaakov endowed Yosef and his descendants with the ability of rising above any Ayin Ra'ah, or you say it was a schus of Yosef because of the mice of Eishes Potiphera, but bottom line is, I'm protected. Why am I protected? Because I'm Mizaru de Yosef. But obviously, on a practical level, how many of us could say that we're descendants of Yosef? So here we have to see another Gemara in Brachos. This is on Daf Nun Heyam in Beis. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Haiman the Isle of Masa, an individual who comes into a city, V'dochil me Aina Bisha is the Aramaic translation of Ayin Ra'ah. He's dochil means dechila, so he's afraid of an Ayin Ra'ah because he's coming in, people are going to look at him, they're going to check him out, wait, he looks so fancy, he's got a
You know, he's got a $500 suit with a tie and a vest, and he's got a pocket, you know, golden watch that's popping out, and he's smoking a cigar, and he has all his wares, and his who knows what. Maybe he comes in with a Lexus or an Oldsmobile, or I should say an Oldsmobile, maybe a Cadillac or something, and he's afraid of Eino Bisho. Maybe he comes with a beautiful family. So the Gemara gives a whole practical way of protecting himself. What should he do? Linkod zaka di of the amina, the other the smaller, the zakfa di day, the other the smaller, the other the amina. He does this whole operation here with his right hand, his left hand, crisscrossing it. The lema hachi, and he should make the following declaration. It's not clear who he's speaking to. Maybe he's just saying it out loud and nobody's listening. Ana ploni bar ploni, he should mention his name and his father's name. Mizara di Yosef karsina. I come from the descendants, the offspring of Yosef, Delo Shalta Be'ein Abisha, and is no Ein Hora. Shenemar, Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Aleayin, Al Tikri Aleayin, Ela Oleayin. Rav Yosef Bar Chanina Amar Mihocha, another source in the Torah from which we derive that Yosef and his descendants are protected against the power of Ayin Hora, the Yidgula Rov. Be careful, Aretz. And the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Darshan's word, V'yidgu, Miloshon, Dag. Ma dogim shabiyam, mayim echasim aleim. They're covered by the water, they're deep down in the sea. V'yein ayin ra'a shall let this by him. There's no control over ayin ra'a, no whammy can get to the fish. Af zara shall Yosef, ayin ayin ra'a shall let this by him. It's interesting that the Gemara that we quoted earlier, Daf Chaf, doesn't mention that Yalfusa. But whatever it is, the Gemara establishes that a person, if he wants to protect himself against Ayin Ra'ah, then he simply makes this after he does whatever he does with his hands, he makes this declaration, Ana Ploni Ben Ploni Mizare Di Yosef Kasina. So a person stands up, makes a declaration that I am so-and-so, the son of so-and-so from Zara Shel Yosef, and because there was a promise for Zara Shel Yosef that they would be protected, he takes that protection. So the question is obvious. He's not Zara Shel Yosef. We're talking about Stama Joe off the street. I don't know what Shevet he's from. Most of us today are probably from Shevet Yehuda. But whatever it is, I mean, he's making a declaration. So the Chidah asked this question. I got a page here from one of my Talmidim that has a whole collection from Rav Albaum of Achronim. There are at least three or four Achronim, mostly Chassidisha, who deal with this Ayin Ra issue. But here he quotes a great Sephardic posek, the Chidah, like the Chidah Azulai, who lived 250 years ago. And he writes on this Gemara, L'chor Yesh Lachkar, B'dover Shkarim, Lo Yechavin? What is it good if he lies and he declares that I'm Mizaro Shel Yosef, Uksiv Midvar Sheker Tirchok? V'yech Yilamdo Sheker, how could it be that the Gemara is advocating, recommending that a person lie? V'su, and furthermore, Eich Yoyel HaSheker, how is it going to be effective? True, there's a guaranteed promised protection to the descendants of Yosef, but why is that protection relevant to him? Vinira, and he tries to answer the following. The Chasulem Rabbanon, the Rabbanon had compassion on the Jewish people, and therefore they gave them the ability to say sheker, meaning even though lying is not a good thing, but in this case, you know, you're really in a you know, your back is against the wall, you're in a real pressure cooker situation, you're coming into town, there's a real fear of Ayin Ra'ah. So they allowed you to lie. Again, it doesn't answer how this lie is going to protect him. You know, just saying, declaring, I know I'm Yizara Shel Yosef, it's like somehow this very simple formula, a very easy formula, which is not even true, is going to protect you. But then the Chidah offers a second answer. And this we'll find in the Marsha as well, in that Sugyan Brachos. Amru Chazal, Yosef Kilkel Es Yisrael. Kilkel was a chaf and a chaf, not with a kuf. Kilkel milchalkel means to give, maintain their sustenance, meaning divide food, because you remember during the 7 years of Ra'av, Yosef was the mashbir of Mitzrayim, and he took special care of all of Mitzrayim, but specifically of his brothers, of Shiftei Kah, and they represent all of Klal Yisrael. He says, Lazeh Nikru Yisrael al Shmo. And therefore every Jew is called on the name of Yosef. Kidiksiv B'nei Yaakov V'Yosef Sela. He quotes a pasuk in Tanakh that refers to not only B'nei Yaakov, that we are called B'nei Yaakov, that's okay. We're all B'nei Yaakov. But B'nei Yaakov V'Yosef. Why are we B'nei Yosef? There's an amazing chiddush of the Chidah. He says that if somebody saves someone else, he maintains and sustains him by providing him with food and sustenance, that person is now considered like the father of the recipient of that sustenance. Since Yosef sustained the entire people of Israel, therefore, we're all called B'nai Yosef. Now, I don't know what's going on here. Is it A or B? Is it A that we're called B'nai Yosef for all eternity, for all times, this is all encompassing? Or, and I'm inclined to the second possibility, that it's a din misuyam, it's a separate din as far as Ayin Ra'ah is concerned, that the chiyus, the life sustaining force that Yosef provided for the people of Israel, that gives the people of Israel a status of B'nai Yosef as far as Ayin Ra'ah is concerned. It's not that we're B'nai Yosef for all dinim. We've been a Yosef as far as Ayin Ra'ah is concerned. Again, how this works, we're still not clear, but this seems to be on a practical level the way we could protect ourselves by making this declaration: we belong to Yosef. And the Marsha in Brachos is also bothered by this Gemara. He quotes the Gemara, Ano Mizara di Yosef Kasinon. He says, what's going on over here? And he gives a number of answers. The Odei Shlomar, his last answer, is the one that interests us the most. The Chol Yisrael Nikru Al Shem Yosef. And he quotes a different pasuk in Tanakh. Kidichsiv Nohei Kitzon Yosef. That Yosef somehow guided the people like a shepherd guides his flock. And that's how Yosef was, in a sense, a motherly or fatherly figure for Bnei Yisrael. And therefore we're called on the name of Yosef. But what we find in both the Chidah and the Marsha was much, much earlier than the Chidah, is that they both say that what we have to define and is reflected in this Gemara Brachos Nun Hey, in our ability to protect ourselves against the Ayin Hara by declaring we're B'nai Yosef, that in some sense we are B'nai Yosef. And we mentioned the Gemara in Brachos before, the Agadita about Yosef and Zaroshel Yosef, Delo Sholto Ba'eni Ra. There's a very interesting gematria here in the Ben Yehoyada, that's the Ben Ishchai, which is one of the super commentaries on Agadita here in Brachos, and he says the following, Nira Liba Siyata Dishmaya, he says, God helped me and revealed something to me, this is a gematria. He says, Shiluv Havaya and Ado, right, Noi, meaning if you take the two most common names of Almighty God, Havaya, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei, and if you calculate Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26, which is a very holy number, and Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, right? So if you count the Aleph and the Dalid is 5, Nun Yud is 50 and 10 is 65. So if you add the 65 together with the 26, you get 91. 91 is a very important number. Why? He says Ki Hu Mispar Sukkah. Okay, if you take Sukkah, right, you have the Samach and the Chaf of Sukkah is already 80, plus you have the Vav and the Hay, which is 11. 80 plus 11 is 91. So the Gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei and Adnus, those two Shemos, 91, is exactly equivalent to the Gematria of Sukkah. What is the point? He says, Ki Yeh B'Sukkah L'Hagen, the concept of Sukkah is protection. Sukkah is like the Ananiya cover that protected us in the wilderness. Lahagin mishrav v'shemesh. Sharav v'shemesh. So sukkah is the concept of lahagin. V'lachin, he recommends, tolen osal tas kesef. We should get ourselves a tas, you know, some sort of plate made out of silver. And on that plate, we should attach these two names of Hashem. I don't know if you've ever seen these you know, it's more common amongst the Sfaradim than the Ashkenaz, but they have these posters and the different things. Liyaladim ktanim. And he suggests, not the way we do, we put it under the bed or on top of the crib of the baby. He says, bitzavaram. We should take this silver necklace and put it around the child's neck, because it has these two shemos on them, Havaya and Adnus. Again, I don't know what you do when you want to go into the washroom, but anyway, and those two names really represent the protection of Sukkah against an Ayin Hara. And it's very interesting that you get the impression from the Ben Yehoyada that the problem of Ayin Hara is very powerful, very dangerous with regard to children, that children could suffer from Ayin Hara. Maybe very often, you know, the our enemies who want to destroy us will look at the children and give them chas v'shalom an ayin hara. And fascinating is that according to some agadita, which we don't seem to have in our shas, but it's brought down in Chassidish Sfarim, on the pasuk referring to in Parshas Vayishlach, the meeting between Esav and Yaakov. You remember after Yaakov had run away from Esav following the mice of the Bechorah, so they met up again a long time later. And the pasuk says in Brachos Lamed Gimel, Vayisa Yaakov Einov Vayar Vehine Esav Ba Veimo Arba Meos Ish. Right, Esav came together with an entourage of 400 people. So in Chassidish Sfarim, the number 400 is indicative of Ayin Ra'ah. Sherotza lachnis chas v'sholom Ayin Ra'ah b'zera Yaakov. In other words, when Esav beheld all the children, you know, because last time Esav saw Yaakov, he wasn't even married Yaakov, he was a single guy. Now he comes back with all these children. He had at least 13 children at the time. Remember, they were trying to hide Dinah from him. And he came with 400. Why does the Torah mention 400? Because that refers to Ayin Ra. Now, if you take the word Ayin, which is the Ayin, of course, is 70. And the Yud is 10. You're up to 80. And the Nun is 50. So you had 50 and 80, you get 130. Okay. Ra, Kufresh. Resh is 200, Ayin is 70, is 270. If you add 130, which is Ayin, to Ra, which is 270, 130 and 270 is 400. So the number of people which the Torah has to count for us, 400, that Esav took along to, so to speak, meet Yaakov, is exactly equivalent to Ayin Ra. Sherotza lahachnis chas v'sholom Ayin Ra b'zera Yaakov. It's again, it's an attack against the children of Yaakov. And how did Yaakov protect himself against the Ayin Ra of Esav? It seems that Ayin Ra is a powerful tool that our enemies throughout time want to use against us. We saw it in Bilam HaRasha, Ayin Ra, and now we're seeing it in Esav. Maybe Esav is the father figure of Ayin Ra, I don't know. Vayisa Seinu Vayaras Hanoshim Vesayiladim Vayomer Mi Ela Loch. And again, we're talking about now Esav, and again the word is Vayisas Einov. You know, it's not just Vayar, it's Vayisas Einov Vayar. And this Vayisas Einov is a certain special type of looking, and he sees all the children, Vayomer Mi Eloloch, like, where'd you get them kind of thing. And that somehow is an Ayin Ra. Vayomar, and Yaakov's response is, Hayiladim Asher Chanan Elokim Es Avdecha. God bestowed upon me this gift of these children. So that will, Amirtz Hashem, be the segue to lead us into the second part of my discussion tonight about what is Ayin Ra and how to protect against Ayin Ra. Not in a practical sense. Again, practically speaking, you know, we have the Gemara Brachos. You know, I come from Zara Shel Yosef, that declaration. Or perhaps we have the practical eights of putting the hands in this way and that way, right over left, and all that business. We also have the Shem Havaya together with the Shem Adnus on a Tashal Kesef, and we put that either around the child's neck or maybe under the bale or around the crib. those are the practical dimensions. And I can't tell you much about them. I know that there are all sorts of medallions that people use. Pregnant women use the medallions. They use ribbons. You go to the Kever Rachel, they give you a red ribbon. And when I went down to my chuppah, I remember my father-in-law gave me a right to bendel, you know, a red thing. That's all the practical stuff. And every family almost in Klal Yisrael has their own tradition that's a transmission that dates back who knows how many hundreds of years, how to protect themselves against Ayin Ra'ah. But what I want to study with you now, and this is Chelek Beis, but this is the Ikar for me, what is Ayin Ra'ah, and what message does it have for us in terms of Musar, in terms of how we should lead our lives? So in this second part of the Shia, when we want to discuss the concept of Ayin Ra'ah, and the structure and how we can improve ourselves in order to protect ourselves against Ayin Ra'ah, I want to share with you two insights of two Hasidish Rebbes that I think really open up, and I think they're both saying in different, each one in his own signon, his own style, they're both saying the same thing about what really Ayin Ra'ah is all about and how we should protect ourselves against Ayin Ra'ah. One is the Zerah Kodesh of the Rupshitz Rebbe, and the other is the Kedushas Levi, the Talmud Muvok of the Magid Mimezrich, Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev. According to the Rav Chisa, in Zerah Kodesh, he says the following: Tzarech lahamin, we have to believe, Shekol haolam kulo umaloa, everything in this world, Hem tzel v'dimyon li'ela mineh. This is a reflection of something that comes from the heavens. We spoke about this also before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, on Lel Shabbos, about the Shefa. You remember the Shefa that we spoke about that comes down from Shamayim. V'tzarich, our responsibility, down here in this Olam HaShofel, l'kasher kol davar l'sharsho, to connect everything back to its original foundation, its original root, which, as we said, is in Shamayim. That's our job. To believe that everything that we have, look around you, everything in the universe, everything that we have in our own personal life, our body, our possessions, everything really comes from Shamayim. And now our responsibility is to make that connection. Because Shamayim is, so to speak, breathing existence and kiyum and chiyus into everything down here. That's the Shefa. And we have to make sure that that connection between Shamayim Varetz is not broken. It's always strengthened. And therefore, he says, Shamati v'aldusi, I've already heard when I was a youngster, skula, a certain power, a skula power, mipi ha'omrim, that's been passed on by those say, shemisha rotze shalo yit litein ayin ro letinok, if somebody's afraid that he might give an iron rod to a tinok, yistakel lamala, he should just turn his eyes up to Shamayim. He says, uledati, now that I'm a mature person, efshar, it's possible, the Omar Zosei is a tzaddik v'chokhmoso. It was a real tzaddik who was wise who said this thing. Ki ayin ra'a ba mizeh, listen carefully, this is the punchline. Where does ayin ra'a come from? Kasher odom ro'e eze dover na'a. O Ezek Dula, b'mamon, o b'bonim, o b'gvura, o b'chol maila. When a person sees that someone has something beautiful, something great, possessions, children, strength, any maila, v'umatmiya ma'od al malasa shel zeh, and he starts asking himself, what's going on? Why does he have such a wonderful situation? You know, some people don't have children, or their children are not as beautiful physically and spiritually as they want them to be. And they look at Yenim, they look at the next one, and they say, look what he has. Why does he have it? That's a matmiya. Matmiya means a question. He's asking a question. The afal shpi shematmiya bi'ava, and even if he's not jealous, he's just wondering, how did it happen? How did this thing happen? Afal pichen, goreim ra'a, he causes evil, the very tmiha that he asks the question, how did it happen, How is it that so-and-so became wealthy, or so-and-so has such beautiful, wonderful children? Maybe he's not mekane. He says, matmiya bi'av. I wouldn't say that that's kino. He says, matmiya bi'av. Why is that gorim ra? So he says the following. These are the key words. Shehu mafrid et hadavar mishorasho. Somehow, ayin ra works in the following way. It cuts off any object or any person from the shoresh. Where is the shoresh? Up in Shamayim, correct? And as we said before, the responsibility that we have in order to strengthen that chiyus and that shefa that comes from Shamayim is to connect lemala with lemata. Once you ask the question, bitmiya, how could this be? You already undercut that connection, which the Rebbe calls Mafrid Hadavar Mishorsho. Ki ilu hayaroa chacham, David Vashem Yisparach, if a person was truly a chacham who's dveikus Vashem Yisparach, lo haya matmiya klal, he would never raise such a thought or a question with his lips. Why or how did it happen? Mashayach litmoa, al midat tifarto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can a person ask any questions about the tiferes of Hashem? This is a beautiful expression of the chesed and the compassion, the benevolence of God as He brings down from Shemayim such wonderful gifts to a person. Why would you be matmiya? Why would even the thought occur to you? Like, why is it? What's going on? What are you talking about? This is the teferis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Teferis is always that midah that connects the lamala with lamata. But rather, all he has to do is raise his eyes to Shamayim, Lamarom, to the heavens. Ubazen, doing so, mikasher hadvarim l'sharsho. He reconnects everything in this world with the shoresh. V'ze ayin tova, and this is the ayin tova that will undermine the power of an ayin ra. So, my friends, let's forget for a moment about all the practical aitzes about how to do it, and with the tas, and the gematrias, and the shemos, and about putting the hands this way, and the hands that way, and making this declaration. Forget about all that. According to the Rebbe, what we need to do is just to reconnect and reestablish the teferis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Teferis means the connection between lamala and lamata. And we, instead of being mafrid adover misharsho, instead of asking, how did this happen? On the contrary, look up toward Shemayim. That's all you have to do. The whole secret is to look up at Shemayim. Ubazem mekasher hadvarim l'sharsho v'zeu ayin tova. And then the Rebbe goes on and he says that if a person is used to looking up to Shemayim, v'tzarich lahodotu lahalel Hashem, he has to express gratitude by understanding that everything came from Hashem and attributing all to God, all to Him with a capital H. Right away, he fills his heart up with Hodah and Halel. Al Kol HaTova, Shemispashit Ba'olam Hazeh. All the wonderful goodness that's coming from on high down, spreading throughout this world. K'mo Shematzinu, Sha'asu Imosenu, Rachel V'Leah, Shahodu L'Hashem. They thanked Almighty God. V'lo Tomu Klal, they didn't ask questions, how could it happen? V'yehu Em Divrei Chazal. And here he quotes a medrash of Chazal, Vayizkar l'kimet Rachel, God remembered Rachel and she gave birth. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu haroa adam noa, when a person sees somebody beautiful, eich tzarich levarech. Omer baruch shekacha lo ba'olamo. Look how God has brought this about in His world. Hein hein advarim. He says, what this medrash is trying to teach us is that when we see something wonderful in the world, we should burst out in a song of blessing to Hashem. Baruch Hashem shekacha lo ba'olamo. Tzarech lahodol sha'asa dimyon v'kacha ba'olam. That He created something that's a mirror image of its perfect ideal structure in the worlds above. It's tzura in the olam ha'selyonim. Dahayinu ba'olam hazeh asa kacha tiferes me'olam ha'elyon. So it's not enough. We once mentioned the Shalom who says you should always say B'ezer Hashem, everything you do, something, and understand anything you're accomplishing is because Hashem helps you. But not only that, everything that you have comes from Hashem and burst out in a song of praise to Hashem. That everything that's in this world is a direct image of its perfect counterpart in the world above, and Hashem with His great Tiferes and His Chesed is bestowing this on us, that reestablishes the connection between the Lamala and the Lamata, and that is against the Ayin Hara, which is trying to be Mafrid Hadover Mishorsho, but Lisa Lamarom Einov, and again, I don't think he means physically you have to actually look up. I mean, even if I don't know if you have to strain your neck, but the point is, on a moral level, in terms of how you live your life and what Ashkafot you should have and what attitudes you should have towards life, to realize that everything around you, whether it's yours or it's his, it doesn't matter whose it is, whether it's your child, or maybe Hashem, you don't have children, but they have children. It's all from the beautiful Chesed of Hashem that brings that into this world. Tiferes, that's mispashet b'chol ha'olam. And that completely undermines and neutralizes the Ayin Ra'ah. And I want to share with you the Kedushas Levi of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mevardishov. Because again, even though his Nusach is slightly different than the Rifshitzah, but I think he's saying the same thing. He says, what is the key to our derech avodah, the way we serve Hashem? Kshadam sam mivtacho or bitchono, b'ezedav of chas shom, a person puts all his bitachon, he has all his security in something, some object, mitovas olam hazeh, some goodness that he has in this world. Then by doing so, humar ekilu oso dover yesh lo chas v'shom koach. He's as if attributing some power to that object. You know, I worked, I got money, I got paid, so the money is going to give me chiyus. You know, now I have money to support my family. So he looks at the money or the possessions and he says, those possessions are giving me the ability. He says, chas v'sholom, koach lahafil zulas habore yisparach. He says, maybe you're saying that it's not the bore that's giving you these powers, but the powers are coming from the physical objects that you have. And listen to the Kedush Salevi's punchline. He says, Memela, if a person's attitude is, well, the money, I should put all my security in the money, and I got it locked up in a bank or in a safe, that's what's giving me chiyus. As a result, he says, Memela, nifsak midover zeh, nifsak milashon hefsek, you know, you cut the umbilical cord, midover zeh, lidvekus ushefa shel habore baruchu. He cuts that connection that links this object back to Hashem. And he sees this object as operating independent of Hashem. And in truth, it's not so. It's the Atam Achayas Kulam. I heard once from my Rosh Hashiva of Govok Zatzalah, the Atam Achayas Kulam, which we say every day in Chakras, the Arizal used to say, the Atam Achayas Kulam, there's a little bit of a nitzotz, there's some sort of spark of breath, of a divine breath. Because we say Mechadish Betuva B'chol Yom Tovid Ma'aseh Bereishis. In every physical structure, there's something that gives it life. You know, you have this table. What gives this life table is Hashem's Ratzon, His will, that the table should exist. And that's Mechadish B'chol Yom Tovid Ma'aseh Bereishis. So if a person says, no, you know, I got this beautiful table, it's made of oak, and you know, this and that, I paid for it. So you believe, he starts worshipping the oak. You know, it's almost like Avodah Zarah, because he cuts it off from its Shoresh. And the Kedushas Levi continues in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Dover Mezritch, right? That's the Mezritch of Magid, who is the Talmud Muvok of the Baal Shem. Pirish Breishis Lamed Vav. The Torah tells us all the lineage of Esav, all his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. He says Vayimlach Vayomo. So it always says he became king and then he died. He says why? When a person believes in something, he's being mamlich that thing. He gives it original powers, like as if it's a king. It's a source of rulership. He's no longer batuach. The person has to be constantly batuach v'Hashem. He will forfeit his parnos because that parnos, as the Shef Elokim, is no longer connected to Almighty God. It's the bitachon and that midah that connects it to Hashem. Achel Hashem levado yosim bitchono v'yivchon b'masov shekol davar ein bo koach zulas habor yisporach. Nothing has power to protect you except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ozai, when he has that attitude, midabek umekasher kol inyanei
Olam Azeh Ba'abori Yisbarach Shemo V'u Yisbarach Shemo Mokar Abrachus Yivarcheyu Mokar Achayim V'yitain Lochius.
Beautiful. Both what we saw in the Zerah Kodesh and in the Kedusha Slevi together indicate that if our attitude towards life will be one that we are so happy that Hashem grants us everything, and everything we have comes from Hashem, and it's a beautiful Shefa Eloki, and we have Bitochen not in the objects and the possessions that we have, but the Bitochen is in Hashem, then we'll get all the brachos, then we'll get all the protection, and then Ayin Ra is completely a dud. It's null and void. And in this light, just to finish up, I think we go back to the parsha in Miketz and explain what happened when the Sarei Paro wanted to give an Ayin Hara against Yosef. And according to the Gemara, they wanted to say, oh, he's an Eved Ivri, he's a Nar Eved Ivri, how could you Paro upgrade him to the level of a king and he doesn't know any languages? And they said all sorts of things about Yosef. But the answer is, who is Yosef? What does he represent? What does he embody, an epitome, and personify in his life? So read the Psukim. Vayomer Paro Yosef, Chalom Chalamti Upotere Noto. Right? They took Yosef out of the bar because he has a reputation based on the Sar Ofim, Sar Rashi, that he knows how to interpret dreams. Vani Shamachti Alecha, says Paro Lemar, Tishma Chalom Liftar. So I heard that you're a great God. You know how to do it. You have the powers. And what does Yosef answer? Vayan Yosef esparo lemar biladi. Biladi, it's not me. Elokim yaneh shlom paro. Your peace and the interpretation, your peace of mind, is coming from Elokim. I'm just a conduit. That itself is the greatest protection against Ayin Hara. When we realize that anything that we have, anything we accomplish, it's b'siyata d'shmaya. It comes from Hashem. My bitachon is in Hashem. Yosef is the personification of bitachon to connect the world down here in the low world with the higher worlds. And then later on, when Paro is very excited about the interpretation of the dreams that Yosef offers him, says Yosef, Hu adavar asher dibarti el Paro, asher Elokim oseh hera es Paro. God revealed to you, Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, what he's going to do in the next 14 years. Vayomer Yosef Paro Chalom Paro Echad Hu Eis Asher Elokim Oseh Higid LeParo V'Al Hishonus HaChalom El Paro Pamoyim. Why did you see the same idea conveyed to you twice? Ki Nachon HaDavar Me'im Elokim U'Meher Elokim LaSoso. Time after time after time, Yosef says, everything's coming from Hashem. Vayomer Paro Avodov. And now Paro shuts up his Avodim. And he says the following. I'm going to point this Yosef as this Mishnah Lamelech. Why? Hanimtza kaze ish asher ruach Elokim bo. Even someone like Paro, from a culture of idol worshippers, recognizes, realizes, that who is this Yosef? He's an ish asher ruach Elokim bo. That itself, I believe, completely detonates and neutralizes any power of Ayin Hara against Yosef. And look at the names that Yosef gives to his two children. Vayikra Yosef Eshem HaBachar Menashe. Why is he called Menashe? Ki Nashani Elokim Eskol Amali Veskol Beis Avi. Whatever I have through my Omal, it's Elokim, Nashani Elokim. V'Eshem HaSheni Kara Ephraim Ki Ephrani Elokim B'Eretz Anyi. Yosef recognizes, acknowledges that everything that he has comes from Hashem. And you know, later on, Hashem adds, the Pasuk in Tanakh, an extra hey to the name Yosef, and he becomes Yehosef. And the hey really represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we said before, the hey of Hashem is protecting us against the Ayin Hara. So when Yosef and his offspring, and we are all his offspring, according to the Chidon Marsha, are protected against the Ayin Hara, it's because of that extra hey, it's because of the power of Hashem, of connecting everything to Hashem, as Yosef always does. And finally, just to finish up, in the case of Esav, with his 400 people, with 400 Gematria Ayin Hara, and he comes to put an Ayin Hara on the children of Yaakov, and Yaakov says, Vayomer, Hayeladim Asher Chanan
Elokim es avdecha. Once again, it's not my children. These are children that I got from HaKadosh Baruch. And perhaps now, full swing back to Parashas Balak that we read yesterday, we can understand Vayisa Bilam Eseinov Vayaris Yisrael Bikesh Lahachnis Behem Ayin Ro'ah. But what was the Akegin, what was the Keneged Ayin Ro'ah? Shochem L'Shvatav, says Rashi, Shlo Yotzitz L'Toch Ol Chaveru. I'm not going to look at the Ol of my Chaver, which according to the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra is the Sugi of Hezek Riyah and the Sugi of Ayin Ro'ah, that if I look at someone else and I see what he has, and I start thinking to myself, oh, why does he deserve it? Or where did it come from? And I'm atmiya, and I ask a question. That's an ayin ro'ah. But Klal Yisrael built into the arrangement in the oil in the midbar, the oholim, a self-protective mode against ayin ro'ah. Shlo yotzitz l'toch ohel shel chaveru. To realize that what I have is mine, and it comes from Hashem. What he has is his, and Baruch Hashem that he has what he has. I'm not going to look at him and try to give him an ayin ra'ah by asking, where did this come from? What do you mean, where did this come from? It came from Hashem. You should be happy that Hashem's Tiferes is Melokh al-Aretz, is supplying everyone with everything they need, the good that everyone has. And therefore, the Klal Yisrael wanted to appreciate that. And by making that declaration, whether it means verbally or not, I don't think, it's more emotionally, it's more ethically. Everything that we have is from Hashem. That connection, which is to be dovek the dovar b'sharshal, which is to take the shef of Hashem and declare it's a bracha meis Hashem, everything we have. That itself is the greatest protection against ayin ra. So just to summarize, I don't know practically, you know, whatever your mishpacha, whatever your mesoris is against ayin ra'ah, and there are different ways of doing it. The bottom line, and the ikar should be current, is if we always constantly have the bitachon in Hashem, that everything we do is with the help of Hashem. If we always have the attitude that everything we have and God gave us, it comes from Hashem. If we attribute it all to Hashem, that's the ayin tova, that Emir Hashem will protect us from the ayin ra'ah. Kei ratzon, amen. And that's what I wanted to share with you tonight.